Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Training Institute. We would like to thank you for tuning in. Join Apostle Christopher and Prophetess Crystal McQueen for a time of teaching, learning, revelation, and impartation as we go through the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, develop, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call in to the broadcast at 718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the broadcast. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkrm.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and see our upcoming events. While you're there, click the media tab during the broadcast to watch us live. We encourage you to become a vision partner with us. Our vision partners stand with us with their prayers and financial gifts, allowing us to spread the gospel across the United States and around the world. The way to true prosperity is to help and to give to the poor. Your financial gifts will help us to do more to be a blessing to those who cannot do for themselves. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the name of the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I'm Dr. Prophetess Crystal McQueen. Welcome to the celebration of Jesus Christ this evening right here at Kingdom Lifestyles Training Institute. Can we put our hands together and magnify the Lord? Can we open up our mouths and give him some praise this evening? Glory to God in the highest. We praise your name, oh Father. You are worthy of the praise. We give you all the glory and all the honor that is due unto you. We thank you for being our God. We thank you for being our King, and thank you for being our Savior. Amen, amen, amen. This evening, family, turn with me to the book of Matthew chapter 6. We want to begin at the first verse and read to the third verse, the book of Matthew chapter 6. That's the New Testament. We're coming from the first verse and we're reading to the third verse. Following that, we're going right into prayer. Amen. I want to hear the word of the Lord, but first, before, let us prepare the way with our praise, our worship, and honoring of him. Amen? Amen. So beginning once again, Matthew 6 and 1, the Bible says, "Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward." Verse 3, "But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the doing of his word. Amen. Amen. Come on and let's lift them up, family, on tonight. Father, we just praise you. Oh, God, we just thank you. We bless your holy name. You are the righteous King. We love you with an everlasting love. We come before you this evening, God, thanking you for just being God, blessing you for being our Savior, blessing you for being our righteous one, our champion on tonight. We thank you because there's no other God that is greater than you. We thank you for being our deliverer. We bless you for being our healer. We thank you for being our way maker. We honor you, oh God, for the blood of Jesus that has covered us. We thank you for your unabated protection. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your anointing and your power. And so tonight, Father, we come as humbly as we know how. First of all, God, we just want to ask and repent for all sin. We want to ask you for any forgiveness, all forgiveness, any door that we have opened to the enemy, any sin that we have committed, known and unknown, anything that is even in our hearts, God, or our thoughts, we repent of it right now, God, and ask that you would forgive us as we come before you this evening with heads bowed down and hearts lifted up before you. We want to honor you as God. We want to honor you as King with our praise, with our worship, with our hallelujah, with our thank you, Jesus, with our deeds, oh God. We want you to be pleased with our lives, oh God. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we invite your presence, Holy Spirit, into this house and into the hearts of each individual that is here and into the hearts and the lives of every person that will, under the sound of my voice, everyone that will connect with the ministry on tonight, those that will even see at a later date. We ask that your presence, your anointing, your power will begin to touch, will begin to heal, will begin to save, will begin to destroy the yokes of the devil in the powerful, matchless, mighty name of Jesus. Let your word go forth tonight, Father, and begin to grow us, begin to shape us, begin to mold us. We want to be pleasing in your sight, for you are a God that can do the impossible. Father, any situation or circumstance that we may be facing, we know that the greater one lives on the inside of us. We say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. We bring our minds into subjection, God. We bring our lives into subjection. We submit our minds, our vision, our spiritual hearing, our words, our body to the word of God, to the will of God, to the ways of God. We say yes, Father, to whatever your will may be for us. Even if we don't understand, God, we still say yes. We put our trust in you to the very end, oh God. Lead your people, Father, in paths of righteousness. We submit unto you. We thank you and we praise you, oh God, for the mighty things that you have done. Oh Father, look upon our families. Hallelujah to your name. Look upon our loved ones, Lord, those that do not know you. We ask in the name of Jesus that you would begin to show yourself real. Father, in Jesus' name, those family members that may still be riding the fence, God, we ask in Jesus' name, as the old saints would say, put a hook in their mouths and draw them into the body of Christ. Whatever you have to do, God, we say yes to it. Save souls, God. Save to the utmost. Pull them out of the ruck and the miry clay in the powerful name of Jesus. Destroy every yoke off of their minds. What the enemy has, we break every mind-binding spirit. We break every mind-lying spirit in the powerful name of Jesus. We command the enemy's hand to be broken off the lives of God's people. We command them to come in and be saved into the kingdom of God and be used mightily on your behalf. We bless your name, oh God. We give your name glory and all the praise and the honor. We ask that you would anoint our leader as he comes to minister the word of life. Set him on fire, Father, that he could speak forth your word tonight. Put your wisdom in his mouth. Put your words of knowledge in his mouth. Anoint him, oh God, to speak forth your word. Let someone hear your word tonight, God, and say, what must I do to be saved? Let chains be broken. Let bodies be healed. Let minds be restored. We praise you for everything, oh God, that you are doing. We thank you for this whole year, 2019. Everything didn't go our way, oh God. But one thing we know is that we're still here and that you're still sitting on the throne. Oh, yes, you are, in the mighty name of Jesus. We know that you still have a purpose for us, oh God, and we submit it to your will. We thank you and praise you, Father, for the great things that you're doing, the great things you have done, and what you're getting ready to do. We bless you with all of our praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Put those hands together and glorify him.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to your name, oh God.
Hallelujah.
Glory glory to your name, awesome God. Hallelujah, yes. Jesus.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, we lift your name, oh God. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Who can stand against the Lord? No one can, no one will. Who can stand against our King? No one can, no one will. Victory belongs to Him. Oh, 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 victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to Him. Who can stand against the Lord? No one can. No one will. Who can stand against our King? No one can, no one will. Oh, oh, victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to Him. Oh. Victory belongs to Him. Oh, 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 victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to Him. Oh. Victory belongs to Him. So we put our trust in You, and we put our hope in You, and You will deliver, and You're a provider, and I find my victory in You. Forever victorious, forever we win. I find my victory in You. You will deliver, and You're a provider. I find my victory in You. Forever victorious, forever we win. I find my victory in You. Victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to Him. Victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to Him. Victory. Victory belongs to Him. Hallelujah, Jesus. Victory belongs. All the victory belongs to You. Oh. Oh, oh, oh.
come through him.
Sing that one more time.
Oh, oh, victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to him.
How many of you know that victory belongs to the Lord our God? Oh, yes, it does. All victory, honor, and praise belongs to our God. We honor his name on tonight because he is the great I am, the everlasting one, the Prince of Peace, the great I am, the El Shaddai, Elohim. He is the one who is victorious. Our God is the mighty God, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But you know what, family? He's your God, and he's my God as well. So we all shout that victory belongs to him. And because the greater one lives on the inside of us, that means victory belongs to us as well. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to his name. Victory belongs. Can you say that one more time? Victory belongs.
Belongs to him.
I don't know about you, but victory is mine.
Belongs,
yes, it is.
To you.
Ooh, victory.
Victory belongs to him.
Hallelujah. We have the victory. Amen. Family, we thank you this evening for joining us. Welcome. Once again, if you're just now getting here, I want you to know, greetings. I am Prophetess Dr. Crystal McQueen of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, co-pastor alongside my husband, Chief Apostle Christopher McQueen of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries and Kingdom Convergence, our organization. Amen, family. We are excited tonight, amen, to be before you and into a new season. Amen. It is the month of December, the 12th month. Amen. I'm excited. We are coming on the end of 2019 and going into 2020. Amen. Make sure that this is the year, these last couple weeks that we have, that you tie up all loose ends, family. Amen. Whatever the Lord has been dealing with you throughout this whole year, make sure before you cross over into that 2020 that you tie up every loose end, close every door, amen. Anything that the enemy has been trying to drudge up and grab up, cut it all off, shut it all down, amen. Get your ground back, get your victory back, get your peace back, get your joy back, amen. Whatever it is that you need to do, leave nothing on the table for the enemy to come after you, amen. Make sure, amen, that everything that you receive before you walk into 2020, make sure every door is shut, every I is dotted, and every T is crossed, amen. Jesus said, the enemy came and he found nothing in me, amen. And I want to be able to say that same thing when I'm crossing over into 2020, into whatever the season that God has for me and you, amen, that when the enemy comes, he can't find nothing, amen. Glory to God. So we thank you all tonight for coming in tonight with us for Kingdom Lifestyles Training Institute. I want you to know there is a word from the Lord. Amen. Amen. But prior to our senior leader preparing himself to come and deliver that word, yours truly will just be giving you quickly our announcements and service times. Every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. is our Bible study night, Kingdom Lifestyles Training Institute. Every Thursday, family, from 7 to 8, we have prayer, 1 hour of power in prayer. So we would definitely invite you to bring your prayer requests, amen, as we go before the Lord. And as we're taking them there, expect God to do something, amen. Expect God to work things out, amen. Expect him to change. If he changes nothing around you, make sure that you're changed, amen. And when you pray, prayer changes you, amen, and then it changes things. So meet us here 7 p.m., Thursday night for 1 hour of prayer. On Friday night is Jam, Jesus in Me Ministry, which is our praise and worship experience. And Sunday morning, we come right back here at 9 a.m. for our live Sunday worship service. If you are in the Brevard County area, family, please come out and join us, 956 North Cocoa Boulevard, Suite 1121 in Cocoa, Florida. If you're not in our area, you can still be a part of this service. Go to our website, www.ctkrm.org. There you can be a part of our live services and catch up with us with all the other services that have been going forth, amen, and all of our workshops and different things that we have going on. And also, we do invite you to sow into this ministry if you feel that the word of God has been changing you. I didn't say sow into me. I said sow into the word of God for your life, amen. So it's not sowing into a man. You're sowing into the anointing and the word that has been spoken over your life and your prophetic destiny, amen. You have to work out your soul salvation with fear and trembling, amen. That also means whatever God has given you to do, you have to put your faith to it, you have to put your hands to it and your feet to it, amen. It's not going to drop in our laps, family. We got to move forward in faith, move forward in power, move forward in grace, amen. So make sure that you do all those things. So as that word is ministering to you, amen, and you feel your life changing, you feel yourself growing, amen, connect with us, www.ctkrm.org, and there you can also see several ways that you're able to give, amen. And we just say God bless you and thank you for helping us continue to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ all around the world. And we also invite you to please pray for us, amen. We will be heading to Liberia, Africa, January, the end of the week, the end of the month, last week in January. Myself and Chief Apostle will be heading over to Liberia, Africa. Yours truly will be one of the speakers for 2020 African Women for Jesus in Liberia. My husband will also be ministering as well, doing Christian leadership. It's going to be women and men of God coming from all over the world that will be right there in Liberia, preaching, teaching, demonstrating the power, the grace, and the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So keep us in prayer as we go forth there, and help us, and praying that the Lord will allow us to be a blessing, complete the assignment, and return here safe and sound. Amen. Amen. With all that being said, family, rest up on our feet. It is time for the Word of God. Amen. Amen. If you would, get your iPad, your pens, your pencils, whatever it is that you take notes with, your recorders. Those of you that are watching us, amen, turn the volume up just a little bit, amen. And please let us receive none other than our senior leader, Chief Apostle Christopher McQueen. Let's bless God for his life as he comes. Amen. Hallelujah.
Come on, give God a praise.
Oh, yeah.
For he's worthy of all praise, all glory, and all honor. Amen. Look at your neighbor and just tell them, this is the day the Lord has made. I made up in my mind that I will rejoice and be glad in it. Come on, clap your hands and give God a praise. As we are praying, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, first of all, we just want to say thank you for all that you have done and all that you have given us. Lord, we thank you because you are mindful of us even when we forgot about you. Lord, some of us have gone all day long and haven't thought about anything that was related to you. We had our agendas, we had our programs, we had our schedules and things set. We had our meetings and all that set. Never asked you to sit in and give us wisdom and guidance. Never asked you to give us understanding so that we can be more like you in the earth, representing your name, which is what you've given us to do. So, Lord, right now we just want to say, forgive us. And second of all, Lord, thank you for being mindful of us, because despite all of that, you still gave us those things that we needed. You spurred our memory. You gave us witty ideals and helped us so that we could go forward and demonstrate the power of belonging. Lord, we thank you for it now. Now, even now, Lord, we ask that you would touch our hearts, our minds, touch our eyes that we can see what you're revealing to us, our ears that we are attuned to your voice, your instructions, your directions for us. Oh, God, touch our minds that we can comprehend the magnitude of what it is you're giving to us. Our hearts, that we don't become so emotionally involved that we forget that you are in control. Because of that, Lord, we give you thanks and praise and glory and honor in advance for every miracle, every sign, every wonder, every healing, every deliverance, every soul that's saved, every outpouring. Thank you for renewal in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you because my praise is live tonight. I thank you, Lord, because my faith is active tonight. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Let every heart say amen, amen, and amen. Come on, give God a great praise. Amen. Trying to make sure that we get rid of every interference. We are doing something a little different. Amen. And as we're working through it, we're trying to make sure that those things that may cause a problem are taken care of. Amen? Amen. We don't want any distractions as we are dealing with what thus said the Lord. Amen. Tonight we are preparing ourselves. This week we are looking at this being the only service that we're doing this week, not because we're taking a vacation, but because our brother in the gospel, Pastor Kenneth Kissick, passed, amen, in Pittsburgh. And we were set for Friday. Prophetess Dr. Crystal McQueen was going to be ministering in Ahoskie, North Carolina. And then on Sunday morning, I would be ministering in Ahoskie, North Carolina, and then we would take some time and then fly back on Monday. And as it were, Pastor McKissick is the first cousin, amen. So everybody's going to Pittsburgh for the funeral. So we started talking, myself and Pastor Dr. Tanya Queen Melendez, and we decided that one of the better things to do would be to postpone the meeting, but go to Pittsburgh so that we could be a support. Amen. So we're going to do that. We're heading to Pittsburgh over the weekend. And I was just talking to Prophetess Crystal because, you know, when you get tickets far out, they reasonable. When you need them the week of, a couple of days away, mm-hmm. especially during this time of season, they trying to crack heads and see if there's anything in there. Amen. So I told her, I said, you know, it's too bad that we don't drive more often. And she said, because I don't have a problem getting in the car. Y'all know I got my restaurants up and down the coast. I know where I'm going to stop. Amen. And it will be all right. Amen. Amen. So we started talking about it, and then I shifted my mind so that I could be where we need to be for tonight. Amen. And Prophetess, she started in the right chapter. She didn't go to the right verse, Matthew, the sixth chapter. Amen. I started talking about this because we're talking about succession. And I was mentioning to one of my dear friends, and he's like a brother to me, Douglas Coley Ward. He used to drive from Pittsburgh to Toledo to do our praise and worship. Amen. I said, man, you doing this? He's like, I'm coming back and check on Miles and them, you know, but I got to check on my boy too, you know. I'm like, well, we appreciate you. So every once in a while, I had a little extra money, give him $50 to help with gas. And then, you know, the tolls could be that much going back and forth, $20 and stuff like that. And he never complained. And I told him, I said, we may end up having to come. He said, well, if you come, you have my house. I'll be somewhere else, so you don't have to worry about a hotel. You got the key to my house already. You hear that? I can show you. I got the key to his house already. Amen. He told me when I was there, he said, this key is yours. He said, I know you're not going to lose this key because I made it special. And so I said, Doug, why is this key a rainbow? He said, don't even play. I'm just telling you, you won't lose this key because nobody will mistake that key. I said, all right. I called him when I went up to Bishop David Queen, his men's conference and his bishop's inaugural ball. So I went up there and I said, hey, man, do this key still work? Yeah, man, I wouldn't give you a key and change the lock. So I told him, I said, we may be heading that way. He said, well, I'm getting the place. I have the cleaning lady coming over, and she's going to go from top to bottom. I'm going to have everything together. And this is your house when you come here. As a matter of fact, don't even rent a car. I got a Cadillac that I'm going to give you keys to. Y'all just drive and do whatever y'all need to do while you're here. So I'll be sitting there in the caddy, sleeping in the right bed because when we went up one time, he said, this is going to be a blessing to you. I just got this bed. Y'all not going to believe how comfortable this bed is. Man, it's a bed. I tell you, I had the best sleep. It's one of those, you know, one of those ones, if you don't like it, they give to somebody else. And you go, yeah, they don't like giving it to somebody else. They're going to make sure that bed's right. And we slept in that bed, and you slept, and it's like, right, so you telling me that from Friday to Monday I can be in that bed? So, yeah, we're just going to rest, and we're going to ask God to recharge us, amen. We're going to celebrate and do some things. We're praying right now what we're going to do on Sunday morning because we have friends in Pittsburgh, amen. There's his church. There's Apostle Maurice and Pastor Mary Trent over at Lighthouse. There's Apostle Carswell, amen, Messenger Carswell, you know, and y'all don't understand. She spoke into my life back in 2008, and everything shifted, and I mean, in less than a month. So we always try to respond and respect those who God has given us connection with when we go in those areas, amen. And we'll have a little bit of time to see what we can do. So we're praying about that. But the number one thing that we need to do is check on the church and the family of my brother, Pastor McKissick, amen. So we want you to be in prayer with us. We haven't decided if we're going to leave out on Thursday night. Just drive till I get tired and get a hotel at a good restaurant. Because, you know, once you eat, you don't feel like driving. Amen. And then we'll just get up and drive a little bit further on Friday and eventually show up in Pittsburgh. Amen. At another good restaurant or two. Amen. So we're asking you to pray for us that the Lord give us strength, wisdom as we go so that we can do what needs to be done. Amen. Amen. Y'all praying for me tonight? Amen. Amen. And that's why we're driving, because I need you to myself for a while. When I got Prophetess locked in the car, she can't sneak out around the corner. And so this might be a little selfish on my part, But thank God for 26 years and she still look good to me. Amen. Amen. All right. One of the things we've been talking about, we've been dealing with, is succession. Everybody say succession. One of the things you have to understand about succession is that succession sets you up for what's coming next. Okay? Everybody's trying to deal with what is now and what my next is, but you don't understand that how God deals with things is God sets up for what's coming next by preparing you today for your tomorrow. Amen. Now, your today is intertwined with someone who may already be down or in the path of where you're going. You're just going to take it and go a lot further. Let me show you how this works in the scripture. Jesus said in John the 14th chapter, he said, "These works that I do, you shall do also, and greater works." What is greater works? Greater works is after you have done the work that I'm giving you to do, you are now free to do some more. Greater. Okay? So these are people who were discipled by Jesus. Amen? You're going to have a hard time with succession when you have a hard time with discipleship. Amen? Okay, so one of the things that we want to do is we want to look at succession, and I think it was it's something that is important because we don't know whether or not Pastor McKissick had things set up in succession. We don't know because we aren't close enough to the situation to know whether or not there was someone being groomed to take over. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen again. So one of the things you have to understand is that God will set up stuff knowing what's coming up later. All right. I'm going to give you a couple examples so you can see this in work. Hezekiah is told to set his house in order, all right, because he's going to die and not live. Hezekiah cries out and turns his face to the wall. We know the story. The Lord sent word back to the prophet to come back and tell Hezekiah that he was going to give him 15 more years. All right? Now, one of the things that we don't study and look at is obvious. God knows why he was taking Hezekiah. All right. Y'all gonna test this. Because sometimes we lament the taking of someone because we look at it from our perspective, but we never consider God's sovereignty in the matter. God knows why he's doing what he does, when he does it, for what purpose. Now, the reason I'm saying this is because if you follow down through the annals of Scripture, you'll see that 8 years later, his son, Hezekiah's son, is born, okay, and he has a son, and the Bible records that his son Manasseh and Asa were the two evilest kings in the history of Israel. Y'all see that? So sometimes we have to look at it, because obviously if Hezekiah would have died 8 years prior to his evil son being born, his son would not have been born. Y'all see that? And his grandson, who was even more eviler than his father, would not have been born, because the father wouldn't have been born. See, so we are looking at our limited capacity with our limited view, our limited vision, trying to tell God what he should do, which is why we don't pray our will, we pray his will, because his will is beyond our comprehension. His ways, his thoughts, how he sees it to process it in his mind, if you would, is beyond our ways of thinking. You saw it and came up with something you thought was slick. And God doesn't have to worry about slick because he can see the end at the beginning. So sometimes God makes a decision on your behalf unbeknownst to you, because you can only see where you at and God knows where you're going. Somebody say amen. So God, then he knows where you're going and he sets you where you are so you can get training, because you need to take the place of somebody who is already there. Succession. Somebody say succession. I know we don't want to think about it because we want to believe that we always going to be here. You know, ain't nobody going to take my place. I'll take it from my cold, dead, crested overhand. Okay, listen, sometimes you need to realize that your dead, crusted overhand may not have been in God's plan. It's one thing for you to train somebody to take over. It's another thing for God to move you out the way. Somebody say, help us, Lord. Because, see, both of them look the same. But God knows the reason behind the move. So then we have to understand that God has some things that are set up, and he set them up because he knows what he needs to do in any situation at any time. Somebody say amen. So we have to then understand that we were over in 1 Chronicles 29:1. And we dealt with these words here. Let me just read them back to you. David is talking, and he said, I have set, my son Solomon, whom alone God has chosen, is young and inexperienced, and the work is great, because the temple is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now, for the house of my God, everybody say my God. And one of the things that you have to understand is why David is talking here. David personalizes his dialogue to those who are listening. He's not saying the house that will be built, the temple, is a great temple. He personalized it. He said the house for my God. Y'all see that? Have you fallen in love with God so much that his house is just as or greater importance as your house? Amen. Have you made his house synonymous with your house? What do you mean by that? If you buy new furniture because you think you need it in your house, have you looked at the furniture in God's house too? You get new curtains because you want to change the aesthetics of it. Have you thought about the aesthetics of God's house too? Do y'all see what I'm saying? He didn't worry about the my or the yours or the house. He said, house of my God. And I found, prophetess, that when people personalize their relationship and their commitment to God, then they will go the extra mile, because you can't beat me taking care of me. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, I know I love me. Okay, when I know I love me, then everything that is connected to me looks just like I look. And I know I'm going to take care of me. Amen. So when David begins to speak, he says, for the house of my God. Y'all see that? Those are the words there, right? Okay. And look at these other words. He said, I have prepared with all my might. When it's my God, then I don't waste any movement. Everything is strategic. If it means I got to go a little bit further, a little bit harder, dig a little deeper, jump a little higher, run a little faster, whatever it takes, I'm going to make sure that I have laid it all on the altar and I left it all on the field. I don't come with praise and leave it and go home with that praise. Amen. Come on, empty out some praise right now. Open up your mouth and give God some praise. Every thank you, Jesus, that came with me is going to be laid at the altar. I'm not going to take anything back home. With all my might, my strength, my capacity, I'm going to give it to him. Okay? He said, with all my might. And then he starts naming off gold and silver and bronze and iron and wood and jewels and everything else. And he talks about all of that stuff. And then he says something else here. And this third verse right here is where we're going to work tonight. He said, moreover, because I have set my affections. I can tell when you fall in love with Jesus because it is evident. You are always seeing who you can. Listen, well, I remember when I first got a girlfriend. I was telling everybody, that's my girlfriend. Y'all know what I'm saying. You get a boyfriend, that's my boyfriend. Doing around the corner. Who's carrying your books? My boyfriend carrying my books. Ooh, I'm going to do this. Baby, I get that. People looking at you, your whole look and demeanor is different. You know why? Because you now have a little heart thing going on. A little puppy love. You think it's so real. Those of us who have been in love for a while know that puppy love grows into a dog. Amen? He was okay when he was going, yep, yep. When he got big, he said, woof, woof. Don't look at it like there's some male and female dogs, amen, that were puppies once. Amen, I'm just saying. When you set your affection on something, you sitting there drawing, doodling the name and drawing little things all over it. You sitting there coming up with little poetry and songs and ditties. Amen. You sitting there trying to get one little rose and just say, this one is because it's special and it's one of a kind, just like you. You know, we come up with all that corny stuff. Amen. We hallmark special right now. Amen. Now, you can't make us sweeter than a box of chocolate because we looking for the right one. Amen. And then we sitting there and we just like, yeah, I just thought about you. Okay. See, now when you set your affections on something or someone, it is apparent. Which brings me to a concern. How can you be in love with Jesus and we don't see any love coming from you? I'm not talking about anybody. I'm talking about everybody. Because we have the talk. We have the lingo. We have the jargon. But we don't have the behavior of one who has their affection set on him. We've learned how to cry and worship. But we haven't learned how to talk in worship. Jesus, help us tonight. Because one of the things that happens when we get into praise and worship, praise deals with appraisal. Amen? That means you have to assess a value of something or the worth of something. Amen? And if you can't assess a value, you can't appraise it. All right? So that is something that you have to understand. Praise is public. It talks of the value of. But worship deals with its worth to you. Okay? See, because when we talk, I use this example, I use it right now. It's one of the things that you have to understand is at the altar, we exchange rings, we exchange vows, amen. She had on a pretty white dress and people had made her up. She was so made up that I didn't know who she was when she came in. I still said yes at the altar. Amen. Hallelujah. Some of y'all right there, y'all all know that y'all went and got somebody to make you up and your eyebrows didn't come all the way up here. They did on your wedding day. Amen. Okay. Hers wasn't like that. I'm just making a point. Okay. Y'all had the foundation and everything. You were flawless. And I'm like, Where's the person I'm supposed to marry? Because this one right here is, and the one I marry looks real good. But I like the fact that her dimple shows up through the makeup. Okay? The dimple is what caught my eye. Okay? So I don't want you to brush that away. I want you to leave that right there. Amen? All right. So what it was is that we publicly, in front of everybody, made our vows. Amen? And let everything that have breath praise the Lord. We all praise God together. Amen? Saint, sinner, dog, cat, whatever it is, church mouse, whoever you are, we praise God together. Let everything that have breath, the goldfish, got to praise God if it's in the church. Do y'all see what I'm saying? Amen. Bottom of your platform shoes should be shouting like this. Amen. Everybody can have a praise break. We all dance and celebrate before him, because that's what you do when you are appraising the value of his value to all of us is great. Amen. Who did he not wake up this morning? You're here right now and you're not snoring. I know he woke you up. And if he woke you up, then you should assess to him the value that he has given you and the competency that you have to drive today, because none of y'all had an accident on the way because you here right now, amen? Do y'all see what I'm saying? Your arms work, your hands work, your eyes work, your tongue work, amen, your face work. While people were cutting you off, everything about you was functioning as it should. You may not have done with it what you should have done, but you had the capacity to do it. So his value should be appraised highly. But then we got to the next part. Because after we ate cake and smashing at each other's face, we got to make up for that. Amen. That's where the honeymoon comes in. Amen. Now, this is the problem that a lot of you have, is that you can get to the altar, but you shut up in the bedroom. Okay, see, I could drop this mic and just walk away, because some of you have talked the good game, and you know how it was when you were younger. You talked and you talked and you talked until somebody say, shut up or put up. Okay, so now you got to stop talking about how good you kiss. You're going to have to put one on it, amen? You see what I'm saying? I know some of y'all right now acting like you've been saved all your life. But if we go back to some of your pictures, amen, we could tell that you ain't always been, okay, holiness is something you've grown into, but we know where you grew from, amen? All right, so... here it is, when you get to worship, worship is personal. It's between you and the person that you are worshiping, amen? And you can't worship what you have not assessed worth to. So why is your worship deficient? Because maybe you can say he means something to you, but you can't show and express what he means to you. Worship is not slow music. Worship is when you come to a place where you recognize that praising him, and you have appraised him as high as you could, and now you cross over into something else because his worth to you is such a great thing that you can't... you can't express it. You are limited in your capacity in this human form to express the value and the worth of Christ. We're limited. That's where we find David. David said, of all the battles that I have fought, he kept me safe. I didn't die. My enemy surrounded me, and God allowed me to go out the back way while they was confused. There were times when the enemy tried to get to me, and God belittled and befuddled the enemy, and they turned on each other and slew each other. God has been a great God to me. I love him so much. What can I do? He starts looking around, says, I have a palace, and I've had this one, and I've done that, and I have wives and concubines, and I don't have a place that's permanent for God. Wait a minute, I know what I'll do because I love him so much, and his value and his worth is, let me worship him with everything I have and build him a permanent house. Just look at this for his name. What can you do but for God who won't fit in the place that you're working with? But his value and worth is so great, you don't mind attempting. Can I just give this to you right here? I want you to think about this. God is so vast that the universe cannot contain him, yet and still he will subject himself to come within four walls so he can be where you are. The Bible says that God inhabits the praises. That means he makes his residence in your little small area so that he can be where you are. And then he prepares us for succession. So when we leave from this old earthly form, we go now into his presence. And somebody else takes our place, continuing the work that we have started. In this case, we see that it was Solomon who was young and inexperienced, never been to battle. You see what I'm saying? Your father's a warrior, but you've never been to battle. Your father has spoiled different armies and kingdoms and took all the wealth and everything and bought it back. And he's sitting there around. He's done things with kings and set up all kind of diplomatic relationships and the like. And you haven't even so much as gotten out to ride on his donkey. And now the work you have to do is greater than a dream you ever had. Oh, Jesus. So if we look at everything that David sets up here, the wealth part of it, we'll talk about money. But I don't need you talking about money because money is not what David is dealing with here. He's dealing with worship. His words right here are suspect. Moreover, because I have set my affections on the house of my God. He said, I have given over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, my own special treasure of gold and silver. And if you look at that second verse, you'll see that he's already set a bunch of stuff up. But then he goes into his own personal, because worship means that you can't talk publicly. You got to deal with it privately too. Don't be saved when you show up to church. Be saved on the way to church. Be saved when you leave church. Be saved when you don't have church. Be saved when you know you should have been in church. Look at your neighbor and just say, be saved. If you love him, it shouldn't be hard. I don't take off my ring when I go to work because my wife's not there. You see what I'm saying? I don't go around the world and minister in different countries and on different continents, and I stop being married until I come back. Wherever I am the husband of Dr. Crystal McQueen. You see that? More so than that, I'm Chief Apostle Christopher McQueen, and I have a affection that I have set. I sold out to God. I belong to Jesus. I know that. So wherever I am, I'm still Chief Apostle Christopher McQueen, Bishop of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Convergence. Do you see what I'm saying to you? We don't put it off until we come back to it. Because if I'm in love, every place I was, you know, back in the day, we used to have that curly cord that was attached to the wall. And you tied it up and you walked around the corner and you put it in the arm. You know what I'm talking about, like this. Some of y'all young people would never know what that was right there. But those of us who are old enough know that we used to talk on the phone and we used to go around the corner where we could whisper and say something. You're so silly. Oh, man. Shooing three-way, calling people. Don't say nothing. I bet I get her tell me that she loved me. Watch this. Don't say nothing. Don't say nothing. So what you think about me? You all right? I'm only all right? You silly boy. Oh, I'm just silly. The way you say that. Said those special words. Words. You know those words. The ones I love you. Somebody just called. Click. I told you. Didn't I tell you? I told you, man. Hello? Oop, I thought I hung up. It was the perfect technology, but it worked. Amen. When you set your affection on the things and you personalize it, you start looking at how I can improve what I love. I can't leave it like it is. Stop showing me problems and show me solutions. Stop telling me what we should be doing and start initiating the movement towards that. Amen? See, what we're looking for now is not people who just follow direction. We're looking for people who are so in love that they come up with ideals. When you're in love, you say, this would be a great thing if we did that. I know that this will impact the community, it will help us to grow as a ministry. God would be so proud of us, and we could just give God glory, and we could really become a greater light in the community. That's what love does, amen? That's what affection do when we talk about my church, because we love my God, and I'm in love with a wonderful man. Thank you. Lavota Whitaker, who holds the world in his hand. I'm in love. I'm in love. I'm in love with a wonderful man. She used to sing that song. Look on YouTube and ask a couple of people, see if I can find somebody. Lavota Whitaker out of Toledo, Ohio, St. James Church of God in Christ, used to sing this song, and she was singing, and her voice was so clear and high that after she got done singing it a couple of times, she would give the mic back, but she had already tore up the house. People who love God don't need to do a lot, because everything that they do is so power-packed that it's like a good spice. You sprinkle a little and savor the taste. When you love him, you don't have to tear up the church. You just have to show up and love the church. Because just doing that shows him how much you love him. Matthew 6:19. Do not lay up for yourself treasures where moth and rust destroy. And where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. 21st verse. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Just leave that verse there. I want you to look at this. One of the biggest problems that we have is that people have not valued the fact that God challenges you in your giving as a sign of your heart's position. Somebody's going to catch what I just said right there. God looks at what you do for you, and then he looks at what you do for him, and then God, he responds to that. Amen? All right? Because sometimes we think the church is after my money. And my question to you is, let me just say it like this. If the bills at the church to be in here per month is $1,200 and the lights and the AC and everything can be $200, that's $1,400. Amen. And then there's other things that have to be taken care of, all this electric and the rest of that. You see, do y'all see what's going on with your $3 that you swear the church is using for some other? Do you see what I'm saying to you? See, because the enemy knows that if he can trick you into devouring your seed, you'll never have a harvest. So what he does is he works on your mind so he can control your heart. Y'all get what I'm saying to you? He works on your mind, your perception of what's actually happening so that he can control your heart. Look at this. Right here, it says 6:21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. But there is also the scripture that says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth. So most of the conversation you have against the church really reveals where your heart is. So that's the reason why your treasure never shows up at the church. But you want us to pray for you to get the new car. You want us to pray for you to get a better job. Oh, I'm going for a promotion. I just believe that this is my season and my time. And God says, and we pray for you. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, even as brother and sister come up here and they have asked, Lord, because they're your child, we ask right now that you will move in heaven now and send favor right now. Talk to the people that need to be taught. Move the things that need to be moved. Lord, let them see the right stuff on the resume. That's a lie you put down to get the job. The right stuff on the resume. We pray the prayer. You get the increase, and then you're too busy to come back to where your treasure never was. Until the next time you need an increase. Because, you know, one of the VPs are leaving, and they groomed me for that, and now I'm ready to step up because I've been trained to walk into that corporate position. I'm ready for the big office. They're going to put C-something-something on my name, COOCFOC-something. It's going to be a C-class job. I just need that right now. I just believe it's my time and my season. Do y'all see what's going on? You can go to the job and brown nose the person that you think can get you into the corner office. But you can't praise and appraise and worship and serve and disciple yourself. It was the one who gave you the nose in the first place. How is it that we have the audacity to ask God to increase our treasure when it never shows up like King David? I'm just asking the question that I need you to really think about. God can increase you above and beyond because his capacity is there. But can he trust you with another dollar? If God gave you the opportunity to witness to somebody that will save their soul and they will give to the church millions of dollars, can he trust you not to try to get a cut of the millions? You know, if it hadn't been for me, you wouldn't even know about Jesus. Jesus would have went around you to still get to the person that he put the resource into so his kingdom can be funded, because he don't need you. You need him. Thank God for the opportunity to be an instrument used by God. Don't ever think that you're the one that it had to come through, because you're not the only one that God created. Somebody say amen. While you sitting there sitting on your treasure, don't forget these other words here. It says where moths and rust destroy. Stuff that you set over in storage is now mildewed and molding right now. It's breaking down, and you're going to take it out. Talk about, this was one of the best things. You know how much money this cost me right here? They don't even use that technology anymore because it's old, amen? I don't care how many tape players you have. People don't use tape no more. You better understand that while you laying it up for yourself, you better give it to God so that God can increase you. Oh, you mad because somebody looked at your stuff and talked about, we don't want that. What? You should be lucky. No. You don't throw something at God and ask him to bless it. You've been holding on to it, waiting on somebody to beg you for it. But the Bible says where moths and rust destroy, God sends a destroyer to your stuff. Oh, your treasure that you're trying to hold on to. God sends stuff. This stuff ain't gonna rust. It ain't gonna. I ain't gotta worry about no more. And where thieves break in to steal. You sitting up here bragging to people, and somebody already figure out how to get in after you've gone to get what you've put in there, so that nobody can get it. And you come back and look at, talk about, this is, the door still be locked. You open it up and nothing in there. You're like, you can't even call the police because you don't have a phone now. They took that too. You understand what I'm trying to say to you? God knows how to get you down to a place where you recognize your treasure versus his treasure is no treasure. The cattle on 1,000 hills belongs to God. And everything that he created is under his auspices. If he is a God and he is sovereign, you best trust the sovereign God for his sovereign treasure. If he gives you treasure, make sure to show up at the house of God. Because while you try to do all you can do with you, don't ever think you're the only one that got a dollar. If we never get our hearts right, our minds won't get right. Because your heart helps you to think about what you're receiving in your eye. Notice how he says the lamp of the body is the eye. Because he knows if there's going to be a problem here with your heart, it's going to come from what you perceive. You see that? While you perceiving all of this stuff, that you think the church is doing and how they doing and everything else, you have not perceived that without there can be no harvest. Second Chronicles 9:10. When I say can God trust you, I'm really asking a good question here. Because most of you don't have a harvest. Corinthians. Yes, 2 Corinthians 19. 2 Corinthians. New Testament. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 9:10. Amen. Now look at the words. Now may he who supplies Okay, now I could stop right here, and I'm going to rest right here. My case for tonight, because you can't get a harvest without a seed. And when God knows that your heart isn't towards Him, He won't give you a treasure. Some people are mad at God right now because you think that God has done you some kind of wrong. Won't come to church, won't tell nobody about Jesus, and they can do it themselves. They all right. They're okay. I'm still waiting on my breakthrough that they told me was coming. When's the last time you praised God till you felt a change in your heart? You don't even appraise Him highly. I know there's no worship going on. And your treasure you're sitting on. But now you want God to do all the great stuff for you. Says now, may He who supplies seed to the sower. Why would God give you seed when He knows you're not a sower? We lied to ourselves. Can't tell you how many people say, preacher man, Rev, bishop, I tell you, man, if I hit the lotto, I'm going to give to the church. See, I'm going and cashing tickets and everything else. But they waiting on the big one. And the reason why you'll never get a big one is because God can't trust you with the little one. You so busy trying to get over on the next that you forgot that if He didn't do it, it wouldn't be done. What in creation moves outside of God? Think about it now. What in creation has its own auspices in mind? That it does what it wants to do without any thought of reciprocity. Or God won't get me, you know. I'm going to say, hey, we got it like this. He stay over there, I stay over here, and we all good with that. Who can say that? You helping me preach tonight? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And when you can dismiss God, you can dismiss His command. And when you can dismiss His command, you can dismiss His penalties for illegitimate behavior. This is the problem. You need a harvest. So if you can't get a harvest, then you become a thief and a robber because you take what you cannot gain any other way. Now, He who supplies seed to the sower, look at this, and bread for food. God never wanted you to give outside of your need. You need to eat to survive. You see this? But the devil will tell you if you give your seed, then you'll starve. He walks on the mind, and we begin to believe it in our heart. And then when God begins to place a demand, then we begin to speak out of our mouths what our fear in our heart is based on how we perceived and thought about it. Do y'all see that? Now may He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply. Look at this. The seed you have sown. How can God multiply what is not in the ground? I know He's God and He can do anything that He wants to do. It's all within His. He can do it. He can do it. He has the ability, the capacity. There's nothing impossible for God. But this is a challenge to you. It's that if you trust God to give you the seed,
Can God trust you to be a sower? Look at this. And increase the fruits of your righteousness. Fruit has within itself seed. Every seed reproduces after its own kind. So what he talks about here is not sower for more money. He said fruits of your righteousness. How do I become right and right standing? How does my character, my integrity develop and grow and become more foundational to who I am and set me up for God's favor to be even more abundantly upon my life? Your fruit of righteousness should increase. People don't give to you because you're lucky. People give to you because you're favored. Ooh, you ever went to a restaurant or someplace and somebody turned around and said, I'm just gonna pay for theirs too? And you stand there talking about, oh, thank you. We have gone to restaurants and sat there and we had just celebrated Jesus and loved on each other and talked about when the check came, they said, okay, you have a great day. Thank you so much for coming. And we were like, okay, what's the bill? Well, they paid for it. I said, can I do the tip too? He said, they've already gotten a tip too. I'm like, thank you so much. He said, we love your spirit. We love favor. You see that? When righteousness is who you are, then favor provides for the bread. You see how that works? Takes care of all of that. But if God can't trust you because he can't trust your heart, you won't get the seed. And you won't get the seed, you won't get the rest of it. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, let's get your heart right. So God can give you the seed for your harvest, because you're going to need it. Say it again. You're going to need it for where God is taking you. Say it with me. Succession. Clap your hands and give God a praise.
We praise God on tonight. Succession. Amen. Amen. Family, we just want to thank God for the word that has come forth in this house. We pray tonight that that word has shaped and changed, even caused you to think, amen, what it is that is required of you, what God is requiring more from you, amen. Look for 2020, amen. It's not the time to rest on our laurels, as we say, not the time to sit back and lay back and chill. I know what IG is saying, and I know what Facebook is saying. Just rest, rest. This isn't the time to rest. This is the time to even get more of a drive to do what God is calling all of us to do, because Jesus is soon to return, amen. Whether you think, whether you believe it or not, he's on his way back, amen. And we want to be ready, amen. Amen. So we're praying tonight again that the word has blessed. Family, if that word has penetrated your heart, if that word is causing you to shift, if that word is, you're finding yourself, yeah, I agree with everything that's in there, sow into this word. Amen. Go to our website, www.ctkrm.org. There's several different methods that you can give. Amen. But let the word bless your life and let God continue to bless by sowing a seed. Amen. Amen. Family, we are done. With all that being said, please join us on Thursday from 7 to 8 for prayer, Friday night at 7 for Jam, Jesus and Me Ministry, and Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for our live worship service. From my heart, our heart, to yours, for Christ the King Redemptive Ministries family, we want to let you know that we love you. God bless you, and have blessed holidays. See you soon. Amen. Put those hands together and bless God. Amen. For Jesus. Amen. Amen. As we're preparing to give our tithes, excuse me, offerings this evening,